See everyone out this weekend, 4th of July weekend, and man, what a blessing to know the freedoms that we have. This morning we want to talk about experiencing true freedom. We want that for you. God wants that for you. Now, that kind of freedom is not the freedom to do anything you want. That would be anarchy. True freedom is the ability to move freely within the bounds of law. We have some wonderful freedoms here in the United States, don't we? One of them is the freedom to move about. You know, there many of you have vacations and so on, and you know, you can go across state lines without having to go through a bunch of stuff in order to do that. We have the freedom to drive or fly or whatever. You know, you think about, even though we have those things, there are certain laws by which we need to abide. Think of traffic laws. I think that's a good illustration of this. The freedom to travel about means you have to abide by the traffic laws. Can you imagine what it would be like if there were no traffic laws? I have the freedom to do anything I want. I want to go as fast as I want. Driving down Main Street here, there's no edge lines, there's no center lines, there's no stop signs, there's no stop lights. You just do what you want. And that would be chaos, wouldn't it? So when we talk about freedom, we're talking about the freedom to do that which is that we're allowed to do within the bounds of the law. So we have the freedom to move about freely in our country. We have the freedom to choose our work. In some countries, you're placed in a certain category based upon family or social standing or your grades in school, physical, mental ability. But here in America, if you want to be a plumber, you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, a pastor, a secretary, professional athlete, a cake decorator, you have the freedom to work toward that goal based upon your abilities and your capabilities. That's freedom. What a blessing. You have the freedom to choose your place of worship as well as your mode of worship. As you know, in some countries, the worship of God is forbidden in that country. If you get caught, you're going to suffer consequences. The blessing that we have here in the United States is that the bounds of law is based largely upon the scriptures. In fact, America's first civil document was the Mayflower Compact. And the Mayflower Compact established the purpose of the Pilgrim's voyage to America. In the Mayflower Compact, it tells you why they came. It says, "For the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith." That's why the pilgrims came. For the glory of God, the advancement of the Christian faith. I think of our Declaration of Independence, of which we celebrate. The signing of the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776. The signers of the Declaration of Independence said this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Our founding fathers believed in our Creator God." Man, you know, think about that. It was awesome. Listen to this. George Washington is quoted as saying this: "The most dangerous of all false doctrines is the one seasoned with a little truth. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." That's what George Washington said. You remember Patrick Henry? He's the one who said, "Give me liberty or give me death." I'll tell you what, read his speech. You can find it online. Just Google it and you can read his entire speech. And at the end, I mean, it is powerful. He says, "Give me liberty or give me death." Well, he's also quoted as saying this. Patrick Henry said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." Wow. Is that powerful or what? One of our founding fathers. We're in the middle of a series on the church. And one of the blessings regarding our beliefs, our mission, our function, and structure is that we have freedom to accomplish these matters as we see fit within the bounds of Scripture. We are talking, we're talking about how to be a biblical church. There are organizations out there that call themselves churches, but the question would be, are they biblical? Because the being biblical is what gives you the bounds within which you operate or function. And that's what we're talking about. So here's our bottom line this morning. We're talking about freedom, all right? Freedom that we have in our country and as a church. And the bottom line this morning is that true freedom is discovered in surrender. Okay. You say, what? That sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it? It seems that if you surrender, then you would be in bondage. Well, think about war. That's the context in which we understand this mostly. Is, you run out of ammo and the enemy's encroaching upon you. And so you have to, there's nothing we can do but to surrender. We wave the white flag and we surrender. And when you surrender to the enemy, you're put into bondage. You are a prisoner of war. POW. That's what we think about when we think of surrender. But in this context, I'm telling you that true freedom is discovered in surrender. How could that possibly be? Well, you are surrendering to release and freedom. When you surrender to God, you are surrendering to release and freedom. From an enslaving taskmaster to a loving Lord whom you willingly serve out of a grateful heart. Spiritually speaking, in Christ is found true freedom. Turn in your Bibles, if you're not already there, to John chapter 8. This is our text here this morning. It's the hinge pin upon which we're speaking, and that is John chapter 8, verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That is true freedom. But what is it talking about? If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And so I'd like to look at the context of this in verses 31 to 38. Look at verse 31 for 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." He has his disciples here, and there's other Jews gathered around. They're listening to him. And he says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Here's a first thought, and that is true freedom is grounded in truth. True freedom is grounded in truth. Now think of this in light of telling a lie or telling lies. If you tell a lie, then you're always going to be looking over your shoulder as to, what did I say? Or, now, what did you hear me say? I mean, think about all that's going on in the government and politics right now about things that were tweeted and back in this investigation or that investigation and what was said. And when you tell a lie, you got to think about, what did I say back then so that I can cover that up with another lie? That's just bondage. That's just like, oh my goodness, I can't get away from it. And so that in itself is bondage. True freedom is grounded in the truth. True truth provides for true freedom. First of all, knowing the truth, you will know the truth. That is a reference to the objective knowledge of truth, the Word of God. You will know the truth of God's Word. Truth regarding God. Regarding the Lord Jesus, His Word, living in light of the direction found in His Word. So it's not just to know the truth, it also means to live in light of the truth. You can know something and not be free. You can, for example, be set in a prison cell and the judge says, okay, you're free. You're free to go. The cop comes in, he opens the door, you're free to go. I don't believe it. That's truth. Or, thank you, but I'm going to stay here. I need a bed for the night or whatever, you know. You're free, but you're not acting upon the truth of freedom. So you have the freedom and responsibility to put into practice, to implement, to walk in obedience to His Word. You will know the truth. The truth will set you free. So knowing the truth and living it provides for true freedom. Think about this in light of Satan's lie to Adam and Eve. Listen to this. God told Adam and Eve, here you are in the garden, and you have freedom to eat of any tree in the garden. I mean, look at all the trees. I mean, you could just see them standing there looking at it and everything. He says, but there's this one tree right here. I don't want you to eat of it. All right? Don't eat of this tree here, because in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. Okay? You got to look at the freedom you have within all of this. But don't eat of this one tree, because I love you, and the day that you eat of that, you will surely die. And so the serpent comes up to Eve and says, you mean you're not free? You're not free? You mean you can't eat of all the trees in the garden? Well, look, you can't eat this. You know, and he says, you will not surely die. If you eat of that tree, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Sprinkles in something that sounds like a little bit of truth. But it's a bold-faced lie. You will not surely die. How often are you deceived into thinking that your little sin, I just do it this once, it will make me feel better. And then okay, I'm done. It's not that big a deal. It's only a piece of fruit. It's not. There's not going to be consequences to it. I will not surely die. I'm just going to take a bite of the piece of fruit. Whatever that fruit is to you. It's only a lie. It's only one morsel of gossip. It's only one look. It's only one thought. One justification after another, after another, after another. And then, wham! Bondage! You've heard that before. People say, oh, you know, I can quit anytime I want. Okay, quit. Just quit. Whatever it is that you think you can quit, quit. And you're going to find out how much bondage you really are in. Well, the response of the Jews here is in verse 33. We are offspring of Abraham. Look at verse 33. We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Now that in itself is an inaccurate statement. Hey, we're the Jews. We've never been in bondage to anyone. Oh, wait a minute. Did you forget about Egypt? You know, really. Did you forget about the two tribes of the south, Judah, who were taken into captivity for 70 years by Nebuchadnezzar? Really? We've never been in bondage to anyone. And right now, you're under Roman rule. Jesus clarifies. Even if that were true, verse 34, he answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The true freedom of which Jesus speaks is of a spiritual nature. So here's the next thought. And that is true freedom is spiritual freedom. He's not talking about Egypt or Nebuchadnezzar or even Roman tyranny. True freedom is spiritual freedom. That's what I want to make that clear, because there may be someone listening on the internet, the World Wide Web, and they may be living in a country under which they are there is a tyrannical government. And if you happen to be that person listening to this message, which will be posted by tomorrow, I want you to know that what Jesus is talking about here is spiritual freedom. True freedom is spiritual freedom. Why? Because sin enslaves. Keep your finger here in John chapter 8 and turn to Romans chapter 6. I'm so thankful that Jeremy chose this passage. And it's amazing to see how God works those things out. But Romans chapter 6, if you want to talk about spiritual freedom, read Romans 6 through 8 and study it. And he read verses 4 through 11. But I want you to look at verse 16. And you're going to see here, sin enslaves. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? There is no question that sin enslaves, right? You think about lying, cheating. We've already talked about lying. Think about cheating. We think about phobias and fears. Think about addiction, which I prefer to call sinful habituations. They start with that first look or a first slip of the tongue, that first excuse, that first taste, that first pill, that first drink, whatever it is. I'm entitled to be angry. I'm entitled to be hurt. I'm entitled to be worried. I'm entitled to take something to drink or to take something to make me feel better. And Jesus here is talking about freedom from sin. You think you're entitled to that, and then before you know it, you are trapped by it. Again, verse 16, Romans 6:16. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and have been set free from sin, having become slaves of righteousness. There is freedom from sin that results in freedom to serve the Lord through surrender. Look at verses 35 and 36. Go back to John 8. Keep your finger in Romans, all right? Go back to John 8, verse 35. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Wow, there's the context of that verse. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Here's the thought. True freedom is found in Jesus. True freedom, it's found in Him. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The point being, a slave is not a family member. And he doesn't have the right to set you free. It would be like you're sitting in prison, and let's say you're sentenced for life, and one of the mob bosses in prison says, I can get you out tonight. I can get you out. And so he says, okay. Or you say, okay, all right, we'll do this. So you get out. Are you really free? I mean, does that mob boss have the right to free you? You know, just go through this tunnel right here and we'll take care of the guards and we'll get all that. Are you really free? You've seen those Prison Break movies, you know. The guy's, you know, he's constantly looking over his shoulder like, oh man, you know. Are you really free? But it says here, that's another prisoner. That's another slave. He doesn't have a right to do that. But if the Son sets you free, who's the Son? He's the one who has the authority, the ability to do that. The Son is an heir and is therefore the one with the ability to set one who is captive free. And get this, He's able to make the freed captive a joint heir, a member of the family. That is a cause for a hallelujah. Amen. I mean, He's the one who can set you free. And if He sets you free, listen, you are free indeed. Why? Because He's the one who can do it. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's true freedom. You're no longer in bondage. No longer in bondage to sin, whether it's anger, worry, drugs, pornography, gossip, pride, selfishness, fear, lust, lying, stealing, laziness, whatever it is that is that anchor that holds you back, that you keep pulling you back into sin. Listen, through Jesus, there is true freedom. You no longer need to live as though you are a slave to sin. Back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Look at verses 20 to 23. When you were slaves of sin, you were freed in regard to righteousness. What's that mean? Well, when you were living in sin, in the bondage of that sin, that sin cell, you know, a prison cell, that you're living in that sin cell, righteousness didn't matter. Yeehaw, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And it got you in further bondage. When you were slaves of sin, you didn't even care about righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? In other words, what good was that doing you? How's that going? The end of those things is death. You see that? Verse 21. The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the context of that verse that we quote in Romans Road so often. There's freedom in Jesus. That's why Jesus came. He died. He took your sin upon you. You no longer have to live in the bondage of your sin. There's freedom in Jesus. And eternal life as a result. Again, freed from an enslaving taskmaster to a loving Lord whom you willingly serve out of a grateful heart. And that comes about through salvation. Salvation is the matter of I confess that my old way is a way of sin. And it's selfishness. I'm just keep insisting on living my old way. And the question is, well, how are you doing with that? How good is that? But it's surrendering and saying, you know what? I can't go that way any longer. But I believe Jesus died on the cross. We have an empty cross here. Because Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose again. And you believe He is the one who can free you from all of that stuff, whatever it is from the past. He can free you from that. Sadly, and that's salvation. All right? That's surrendering to Him. I want salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, some of you might say, well, Pastor's preaching the salvation message. Really, the thrust of my message is for the many believers who are struggling in sin. And you don't. My message here is you don't have to. So often I counsel with people who are just struggling with a sin or a bunch of sins, and they know the Lord and they love the Lord, but yet they just keep going back to the hog trough, as you might say. Why do I keep going back there? Again, you keep studying Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. But the point there is that you don't have to. Jesus paid it all. And I want you to know that. You don't have to keep going back. There is true freedom in Christ. And I'm going to list some qualities here, but I want you to think of them and listen to them in light of the alternative. I'm going to, for example, honesty. Think about, okay, freedom to be honest. When you're honest, you don't have to worry about someone catching up to your lies. So over against that, you have lying, which is just, I'm constantly looking over my shoulder. What did I say? When did I say it? Who did I say it to? And it's just, you know, it could get nerve-wracking. The turmoil of living a lie. Or integrity. You know, if you're living with integrity, it's upright. There's freedom in that. You're not afraid of someone pointing a finger at you and saying, aha. But the alternative to that is the lack thereof, the lack of integrity, and falling short of expectations and being called on the carpet about that. Think of love. Think about the freedom of love. You know, when you are loving others, you do the right thing. Over against hate. You know, just the turmoil of hate. You know some hateful people? You know, they're just curmudgeons. They're just, everything's negative, negative, negative. Murmur, complain, you know. It's just, really, you think about that. Think about caring. When you care for others, you know you've done the right thing, as opposed to being uncaring, selfish, and full of turmoil. It's all about me. You know some people like that too, don't you? You know, it's always about them. And they're just never happy because they're making everything about them. About peace. This is the freedom of peace. Well, the opposite of peace, war. Right? And just the freedom to have peace. And I just think you can go through all of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And you say, wow. And you put over against that the opposite of that fruit. And, okay, there's blessing, there's turmoil. What do you want? Jesus continues. John 8. Go back to John 8, 37. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, you're Jews. Yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. Well, who was their father? He's speaking of him being his father God. Who was their father? The point here, Jesus knows your heart. Jesus knows to whom you are bowing. Whether it's God, that's who you ought to be bowing to, or to self, the world, or the devil. To whom are you bowing? Jesus knows your heart. He knew their hearts. He was aware of the fact that they were offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. And Jesus points out in verse 38, Jesus speaks of what he has seen with his father, and that is truth. He knows the truth. And he goes on, he says, and you do what you have heard from your father. Who's that? We'll look at verses 42 to 44. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I come from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Remember, for God so loved the world, he sent his one and only son. To die for you. That if you would believe in him, you would not perish, but have everlasting life. So why do you not understand what I say? Verse 43. It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's will. He was a murderer from the beginning. And has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus is pointing out that they did not believe capital T truth. They were deceived by the father of lies, the devil, and they were therefore perpetuating that lie. Don't allow yourself to believe the lies of the devil. He is the deceiver. He is the father of lies. He promises fulfillment in anything other than God's way. And I'm here to tell you that the way to blessing, the way to peace, as opposed to turmoil, is to follow God, to surrender to Him. Satan's way is a pathway to ruin. It's a pathway to bondage, to heartache. And because they were so deceived by the liar, they could not see the truth before their very eyes. Listen, I'm telling you, the truth is right here before your very eyes this morning in Jesus Christ. This is truth. And he's here. He wants you to see him as truth. And the bottom line is that true freedom is found in surrender. Here you have Jesus. He's saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. You have that turmoil in your life. You come to me and I'll give you rest. Surrender to me that you're going to experience true freedom. Israel. Remember when they were freed from Egypt, they were grumbling, murmuring, complaining. Oh, we want to go back to Egypt. We had food there. We had garlic and leeks and everything. It was a great place. They forgot about the bondage. Why would you want to go back there? Here in the United States, we were once, as a nation, in bondage to taxation without representation. And in bondage to a disconnected monarchy in that day. Why would we want to go back there? And in the same way, why would you, once you have trusted Christ, and many of you have already done that, why would you want to go back to the bondage of your sin? You don't have to. Because true freedom is found in Jesus. Surrender to Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You desire us to surrender to You. First of all, in true salvation. And there may be one here this morning or several who've never trusted Christ, or they're not sure, they're confused, but they're getting a better picture of this and they say, you know what, I want to surrender to You. I pray, Father, that that would happen here today. God, work in hearts, I pray, to turn hearts toward You. And that folks would turn from selfishness and pride and doing their own thing in their own way and just recognize the folly of that, the turmoil in that, the lack of peace, and then come to You in salvation. But Father, there are many here who've done that. And yet, if they were honest, they realize they keep going back to some of that stuff that put them in bondage in the first place. Help them to know true freedom and the blessing of living Your way to Your glory by the power of Your Spirit, strengthening and enabling them to do that. They're free. May they know of that freedom with heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to encourage you. Fill out a connection card. You can do that from the pew in front of you or through YouVersion or through our website. And you can jot down how God is speaking to you through His Word here today. If it's personal and private, you check for pastors only, but you might say, I want to get saved. Or I'm struggling with a sin in my life and I need help. Or maybe you just want people to pray for you concerning whatever's going on. I encourage you to jot that down, and in a moment we're going to take an offering. If you're filling out the card, you can put it in the offering plate. But think about this ministry in light of the message even here today. To support faithfully by giving to a ministry that says, you know what, if you got chains, He's a chain breaker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. And that's what we have here at FBC. We want you to know that. We want people to know that. And I just encourage you to support the ministry faithfully in that.